Congrats on your win last night. Refs were incredible for you guys. Who did you like? Wow, that like was such an egregious trip by Jake Muzzin. You know, you were probably out on that power play. You're like, we deserve.
Yeah, we haven't heard from the Department of Player Safety yet today, but I'm sure we will.
Probably a lot of reviews coming for that one. Would you agree? That's the question. How many games for Jake Muzzin for that egregious trip?
I don't know, man. I didn't even see the penalty. I think I was on the ice when it happened. I just saw the arm go up, and all right, we'll take it. You don't question the power plays when you get them. You question them when you're going on the penalty kill. So I'd have to watch it to see. But obviously, you guys are thinking it was a bit of a non-call.
I was going to say the only guy who actually saw the penalty was unfortunately the guy with the authority to call it, because everybody else who saw it was like, oh yeah, it's not a penalty. We all got to see it. It was right in front of him, but that's too bad. So
you guys are trying to get me like, you can't talk about the refs, you know, you get fined for that stuff.
Oh, that's
and
true.
I wouldn't anyway, because it was a good call.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, there you go. See, he's just done like another amazing job by them. We don't get fined. We can just say whatever we want, and I think that's pretty clear. And if we do get fined, then we recant everything that we just said. Was there a guy last night that you were most looking forward to playing? Like, I imagine that even without fans in the stands, there's some added juice. You were in Toronto for a season, but yeah, man, like, can you walk us through a little bit, like, how you were feeling, who you were most looking forward to playing, kind of what yesterday was like for you?
Yeah, it was fun. It would have been nice to see the guys and get to, you know, either grab dinner the night before or just hang out a little bit. But, I mean, it was a blast getting to get out there against Austin and Mitch and Morgan and just all those guys are, good buddies. And it's funny just have some laughs and warm up, and then puck drops and it's kind of game on. But nice to get that one out of the way, and you know, now it's just another game.
Yeah, I mean, they were talking about it on the broadcast yesterday, how you've gone from McKinnon to Matthews to McDavid, which is a nice little triumvirate for yourself. And we just finished talking about it on the other side of the break about how hyped up this matchup was, and we got eight more to go, and it was an NBC game. Do you guys feel that? Like, is there any conversation about the McDavid-Matthews thing before the game? Does it feel any different?
No, not really. I think that's more of the media talk than, you know, internally they're, you know, we're focusing on our game and a whole lot more than just those two guys going head to head. But obviously, a great matchup and two guys who are, you know, great to watch and entertaining to the fans. So, you know, that's obviously what you're going to see on the NBC or whatever it is.
Yeah, I hear that, and I know that like in such a condensed season, you guys are probably just, you know, rolling game to game. And I do wonder how the scouting reports are different, or what the preparation, how that changes with all of the rules and, yeah, just the quick turnaround and facing all these added teams. But, yeah, we have heard from guys in the past, usually when they leave the game, about stuff like when Sid and Ovi would play each other, not to make it like a direct comparison, that it would add a little of extra juice to the game. And we always hear from guys about, yeah, facing your former team and wanting to beat them a little bit more. And, yeah, dude, Toronto did not go the way that I think you expected it. I don't think that fans expected it. And, yeah, it was tough. Like, we were hard on you. Media in general hard on you. Fans were hard on you. And, like, I don't know how negotiations went, but there was always, like, rumors about trades. Like, did you get the sense, too, though, that, like, yeah, your guys wanted to back you in that game and that you kind of relished the opportunity to face these guys eight more times?
Yeah, 100%. You know, we wanted to win. I definitely wanted to beat these guys. And on top of that, you know, we kind of got off to, you know, 1-3 start in Edmonton. So we were hungry, and it was kind of a perfect way for, you know, the team to get back on track. And then obviously meant a little more to me. And I think the guys played great last night and just super solid. And, but yeah, I don't think there's any secret. I mean, it's obviously nice to go in and beat your old team and play well and you know, mission accomplished, so we got to get another one tomorrow.
Yeah, can you shed any light on how that season went for you? Maybe some of the stuff behind closed doors about, yeah, the deployment under Mike Babcock and how you're feeling as far as your role on this team, and then you get the head coaching change and it's a little bit different. But yeah, there were, JD mentioned it, some reports that you were looking to move on before Mike Babcock was fired, and then there was discussion about trades maybe being lined up before the deadline. What was that time like for you?
I mean, the whole season was, it was an experience. You know, I'd been in Colorado for so long, and, you know, and then you get traded and things don't go, you know, super great right off the hop. And I kind of knew, well, not new, but, you know, I knew when I came into camp, Babs told me that, you know, Mo had the power play and he kind of saw him, you know, where he was and where I was and where I was going to fit in. And there wasn't a whole lot, you know, of responsibility left for me on that, on the power play side of it, which is a big part of my game. So it was a tough adjustment. You know, I'm used to, you know, the arm goes up and you jump the boards. And so that was a bit of an adjustment in the first 25 games or whatever. And, you know, obviously wasn't having a ton of success. And it was a big year for me going into free agency. So I was, you know, I was aware of that. And it was such a crazy year altogether to get the coaching change. And then, you know, we start to play well. And then the season shuts down for a pandemic. So it was a bizarre year, to be honest. Very, very crazy, but made some great friends. And obviously we would like to have some more success going back into the bubble, but, you know, moving on.
No, but that's actually the thing that I'm always the most curious about when it happens. Because, yeah, dude, obviously there was a lot of pressure on you. You got traded for one of the biggest fan favorites in the market, and you come here, and it's basically, hey, this dude he's a right shot defenseman. He's going to add balance to this thing, and this is what he's going to do. There was a headline that ran early on that was like, if Tyson Barrie played in Canada, he'd win the Norris. And expectations got massive, right? Expectations get huge. But this is the thing, right? It's like, what is the role defining? What is being asked of you? How does that change? And yeah, like, you don't get that power play right away. You said it, that Babcock comes to you and is like, yeah, this is Morgan Riley's. Did you kind of feel like there was a disconnect from what you thought you were going to be walking into to what actually happened with the way the coaching staff used you?
I don't know, because it's not like I signed there, right? It was a trade, and I didn't have any control over it. So Toronto traded for me, and, you know, you look at the lineup and you think, you know, you try to see where you're going to slide in there, and, you know, hopefully the coaches have the same idea. And I think it was a bit of a disconnect between where, you know, I was kind of hoping I would go and where they saw me, and that's fine. And that's part of the game. That's why, you know, guys fight for those no trade clauses and stuff. But yeah, I think, you know, again, I wasn't the one writing the headlines about winning the Norris in Canada and stuff. So and you know, obviously getting traded for Nas is he was a, you know, kind of a heart and soul guy and someone that, you know, the city obviously really loves. So there was a couple things that, you know, fans let me know about early and often, and it can be tough, but you just have to play through, and that's why we play and why we get paid to play, and you know, we're supposed to deliver under pressure, and you know, I wish it would have went a little better.
Yeah, and it's cool that you have that perspective, but yeah, like I said, people were very, very hard on you, ourselves included. Do you think, like, is there one thing that you think people got wrong about you, or do you think there was one thing in particular that was unfair that you wish had better clarity, or that you wish was treated differently?
I can't believe you guys are hard on me. I should have listened to the show. You guys flew under the radar for me. Sorry about that. I don't know. I think, it is what it is. People get to watch hockey, and, you know, they pay to come and watch us play. And, you know, if they didn't like what they saw, then that's totally their, that's their prerogative to, you know, to take it out on me, whether that's a radio show or via Twitter or whatever they want to do. So, I don't really understand the, you know, tweeting horrible things at people who are, you know, playing a game, but that's, again, their prerogative. So, you know, I've moved on, and I was very grateful to play in Toronto. It would be a great place to win here one day, but made some great friends and learned from the experience. And, you know, I'm super happy to be here in Edmonton with these guys and trying to do our thing here.
Talking to Tyson Barrie, I mean, and then the coaching change happens, and immediately your role changes, and immediately you score. Like, did you feel like, okay, this is it? It's finally going to come together for me, because it did there for a time.
Yeah, totally. I had a decent, once the coaching change happened, I think I had some, I mean, it's tough because you get the guys who love the numbers and the analytics, and then you get the guys who just rip you for your play. And then, you know, it's kind of when you're doing one thing well, you're getting ripped for the other. So I think I played pretty well under Kiefer, and there was some growing pains as far as the whole team trying to change systems and stuff. But I thought we were really good when he took over, and, you know, my game kind of started to come, and I felt more like myself. And that was nice to see. But it was too bad the way it ended with the, you know, the whole season shutting down and everything, and then going back into the bubble and not making it past that play-in. But I mean, I think that could have been a good time for some redemption, but not living in the past. We're just, you know, we're lucky that we get to come and play during this whole thing. So I'm looking forward to the future.
Yeah, and the NHL has done a pretty good job. The bubble was a success, even if it was not what guys thought it was going to be or what was promised to them in regards to, like, family and activities and different things to do. But, yeah, we always did look at it like, again, it's just a media perspective, but ours was, hey, the season shuts down. This is actually going to be good for some players and for some teams, specifically that one, because, hey, now you get to try to work out the kinks of a new system. Now you get essentially a bit of an extended training camp. You don't have the media around. You don't have fans around. Like, it's going to provide a little bit of a respite, even if it's difficult for everybody. Do you think that it actually worked kind of the opposite way, where, you know, I hadn't really considered it, that you guys had some momentum going, you were starting to move in a positive direction, things do shut down. There's, like, some obviously bumps in the road there, like the Ayers game happens, but, yeah, that you would have preferred it maybe the other way.
I mean, I think we'd all prefer that there was, you know, the pandemic never happened. I think that's definitely true.
For sure.
I don't know. I mean, it's tough to... I don't know. I think it is what it is. I think Columbus was obviously, you know, they were a good team, and you play in the best, kind of anything can happen. Sure, we had, you know, I think we had, what, 12 games left, and I think we would have made the playoffs for sure, and we would have, you know, gone through the regular thing. I don't know, tough to say what would have transpired there, but obviously it was different, though. It was weird getting, you know, leaving your, going home for the quarantine and being uncertain if you're going to go play and, you know, when you're going to play, what that's going to look like. But it was pretty incredible that we were able to pull it off, and obviously it would have been nice to stay in the bubble a little longer. Wasn't in the cards.
Yeah, I mean, we talked to Nick Foligno not that long ago about, yeah, the feeling after Game 4, and you guys have that incredible comeback to force the Game 5. And he said they were never of the belief that, you know, something crazy, like if fate was intervening. I don't know, you were on the team that was on the winning end of that Game 4. Did you feel like something weird was happening there, that, yeah, maybe it was written in the stars to win that series after you win Game 4 in that way?
I thought we were going to win games. I thought after we pulled that comeback in Game 4, we were kind of destined to go a little deeper. But here we are.
So, yeah, because of the way things went, like, I do wonder if you had reservations about staying in Canada because of, like, yeah, fans and media coverage and the way that this all went. If you were like, hey, no, I don't really do this. What was free agency like, and kind of what cinched Edmonton for you?
Yeah, no, I don't think I wasn't afraid to stay in Canada. I think it was just a situation thing. You know, you wanted a spot where it was you know, a good opportunity for me to come in and have that opportunity on the power play and kind of get the confidence going. So that it just seemed like Edmonton was a bit of a no-brainer for me, with, unfortunately, Kleff getting hurt for the year. They kind of had a role that they needed to fit. You know, I don't need to tell you guys about the talent on this team, and, you know, obviously those Leon and Connor with the numbers they were putting up last year, and I just thought it'd be a good spot for me to come and slide in and fit in. And obviously we have got a good team here that, you know, people are expecting to start making pushes for cups and win, so that's something I'd love to be a part of. So it was just kind of... Canada thing didn't really come too much into play.
Yeah, now more you of guys, now you guys are right back in the mix. You get one win, and yeah, the headlines are definitely changing in Edmonton, I bet. Tyson, thanks so much for doing this, man. I hope the other 8 games you play against the Leafs aren't aesthetically like yesterday. But yeah, man, appreciate you coming.
Yeah,
on
you gotta,
us.
Hey, you gotta, you gotta grind some out, boys.
Yeah, I know, and yet you guys needed
that. We did. Everybody grinded that one out. That's the perfect way to describe it.
Yeah. Thanks, Tyson. Yeah.
And hey, that's enough keeping me on your show.
Yeah, listen,
sure.
We're just honest people, but yeah, no, man, you're obviously...
I appreciate it.